You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, hi there, everybody. We are live from the World Series, Game 3 here at a beautiful, sun-soaked Yankee Stadium. Evan and Tiki broadcasting live. We will be here all the way up until Game 3 of the Fall Classic, a game you'll hear right here on WFAN. We'll preview Game 3. A lot to talk about concerning what happened to open this series. Aaron Boone getting a lot of heat. Aaron Judge getting a lot of heat. We will give you our views on it. We will hear from you. And we will get you as ready for a World Series game as humanly possible. Yesterday, Tiki Barber.
Yes.
At about 4:07 p.m., I was physically shaking. I was physically ill.
Why?
And I knew.
What could have possibly happened yesterday while I was awake?
I knew I needed to do something productive. So right after the clock hit zero and the New York Jets decided to kick us all collectively in the groin, I went outside and I played baseball with my sons.
Because I knew
I needed to do something to get my mind off what I just witnessed. And accidentally, I drill jet with the very first pitch. I didn't even mean to, but that's how screwed up I was. And as I stood there for 25 minutes playing baseball with my kids, there was only one word that kept popping into my head.
Which was?
How? How did this happen? How did the New York Jets, first of all, how did we become fans of this stinking franchise? Let's start with that. How did it happen to me?
Blame your fathers?
I blame all of them. I blame all of my dads, all of my moms, and I don't mean just me. I only have one dad and one mom.
By the way, you had a choice.
I didn't have a choice.
When you were, eight, had a choice.
I didn't have a choice.
Okay, when you were 10, you had a choice.
I never had a
choice. When you were 12, you had a choice.
Never had a choice.
When you got to high school, you had a choice.
Never.
When you went to college, you didn't go to college, but when you got of college age, you had a choice.
Yeah, I had a choice.
You could have changed.
I could have.
You could have amended the path that your father sit you down on and become a Giant fan or a Bills fan or a Miami Dolphin fan or a Pittsburgh Steelers fan or, dare I say, a Cowboys fan.
No, thank you.
You could have done anything but stick with the mediocrity, yet here you are.
Mediocrity.
Yes.
That would be an upgrade, by the way.
Yeah.
You think so?
Record-wise, but I'm just saying, this all comes back to the decision that was made 2 years ago to bring in Aaron Rodgers. And we all know it. The sky was the limit. This beautiful day as we look out over Yankee Stadium. It's so gorgeous. This would have felt like when Aaron Rodgers came to the New York Jets. But Jet fans and maybe the Jet organization failed to calculate that as a 39, soon-to-be 40-year-old man who is really good at football and has had the ability to do amazing things, at some point that wanes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is washed. I don't think he sucks.
He's closer to washed than prime.
But he still does some good. The throw he made to Conklin, that touchdown, that was a special throw.
Yeah,
by the way, it was a special catch, too, because he got drilled and held on to it. But that's fewer and farther between for Aaron Rodgers.
He is not, though, and here's the thing that really, I think, killed me yesterday more than any other day. Aaron Rodgers deserves a lot of the blame, but it's everything. It's everything about this franchise. Like, when you think back to the 3 hours we all wasted on a beautiful Sunday afternoon.
I didn't. I wasted about 45 minutes watching it on replay.
Good for you. We're all very jealous. We should all be broadcasters and watch other teams' quarterbacks quit on the field.
Stop.
And then get to go watch the Jets in 45 minutes. But as I sat there for 3 hours, I saw the season flash before my eyes.
Yeah.
Because that was the death of a season kind of loss, which we all know. And there was so many things. Like, I'm sitting there early in this game thinking, how does a functioning franchise use all three timeouts in the first quarter? How? How does a functioning franchise still employ a kicker that misses an extra point and a 44-yarder that's literally the difference in this game? I'm thinking to myself, how does Sauce Gardner, who I love Sauce Gardner, how does he look so confused when Keyshawn Boutte is wide open on a 3rd and 10? How? How can a team, this is one of my favorite hows, how could a team that knew if they score a touchdown, they're going for two, how could they be called for a delay of game?
I don't know.
How?
I don't know.
How do you have that happen?
Oh, I know why, actually.
How? Tell me why.
Because you change your head coach. Well, you fire your head coach. You bring in a defensive coordinator who's never been a head coach, even though he did do it at the Senior Bowl. Let's give him some
that
credit.
That doesn't count.
And I love Jeff Ulbrich, and I think he's put in a terrible situation. I was going to say a bad word there. I'm glad I caught myself. But he's in a bad situation because he doesn't know how to head coach yet. He's learning on the job in the most critical moment of the season for the Jets. And then you change your offensive coordinator, and this isn't a justification or a lauding of my good friend Nate Hackett, who I love. It's just the operation completely changed.
And it got worse.
It's not that it got worse.
Oh, it got worse,
it just got inexperienced.
Yeah, but it got
to the point where it's at this point where, do you trust Jeff Ulbrich to know the business decision to or the game decision to make in real time? You don't. You know, it's not his fault.
No.
He's never done it.
No.
And so I think that Woody thought that there was going to be this, aha, we're all going to galvanize around each other, and everything is just going to work out because I don't like Robert Saleh as my head coach anymore, and I want somebody else in here because we need an uplifting, motivating locker room. That's how we're going to win. But football isn't won that way. Football is won by doing the little tiny things correctly. You know that 3rd and 4 play decision you're making, and maybe you got a 4th down decision or a goal-to-goal situation, or in this case, a 2-point conversion situation. You got to be perfect in executing.
They're not perfect. They're bad at everything. Like, literally, they've gone backwards in every aspect. So you ask me, do I trust Jeff Ulbrich? I don't trust anybody. And here's the reality. They've gotten worse since they made the coaching decision. They've gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
And the hows, which I continue to ask throughout this miserable game to the Patriots, they got worse too. How as a defense that I know was never the 85 Bears, but was better than this, in 2.5 minutes, do you allow a backup quarterback in Jacoby Brissett, which he now is, a crap offensive line, a team with very few even close to being Pro Bowl caliber receivers, barely NFL receivers, how do you let, as a defense, that team march 70 yards? How? How do you let the Patriots convert on a 3rd and 10, a 3rd and 9, and then take your pick, whether it was the 3rd and 5 or the 4th and 1? How? How do you allow all of that to happen? And how, and this is the ultimate, how do you lose on a Sunday afternoon to that football team? That can't happen.
Yeah.
You can make a lot of the mistakes you talked about, a lot of the mistakes I'm screaming about. What can happen at the end of the day when the clock hits 000 is you can't lose to that team. That was as inexcusable a loss as I've ever seen as a fan, and I've been walking this earth for 40-plus years.
I'd agree with you.
And I know the quick pivot from every Jet fan is, what do we do now? Let's fire this guy. Let's fire that guy. I apologize. I can't get there yet. I'm still pissed that on a Sunday afternoon, with the whole season still right in front of them on every level, from a clock management to stopping guys on 3rd down, to letting Drake May run whenever he wanted before he got hurt. Same with Brissett on a 3rd down.
Mm-hmm.
How this happened, how this was allowed to happen against that garbage team they were facing. There's no question, and we'll talk to Beningo later on when he joins us around 4 o'clock. He's seen it all. There is no loss in the history of the franchise that can match the ineptitude and the patheticness of what we saw yesterday afternoon.
No,
it takes a special kind of awfulness
to
tell the Yankees,
fired,
hold on a second, we need to talk Jet football on a Monday. That's how bad they were. That's how pathetic they were. And yes, is the season over? No bleep, Sherlock. Of course the season is over. But the fact that it happened at the hands of that team? A team that was ready to quit on their head coach, a team that has no offensive line, a team that's trading players away today, 8 days ahead of the NFL trade deadline. Like, I'm sorry. for a franchise that has hit all the markers of patheticness, not only in my lifetime, but before I ever walked God's green earth, they have hit the ultimate in patheticness. So the how. How did we all become Jet fans? Here's what I know. We're all screwed because we're all stuck. We're all watching this mess. We're all headed towards the iceberg. The iceberg is going to crush. This team's going nowhere. They're going to blow it up. Sean's going to laugh about it. And there's nothing we can do other than watch the death of our football season much earlier than should have happened.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Halloween, bro? Election day? And they're letting this season end? Pathetic.
Aren't you glad we're
pathetic
Giant fans?
Oh, it's so nice being a Giant fan.
I'm happy for you.
It's amazing.
So
nice.
I'm happy for you.
By the way, Teak, the Giants right now have a better record.
I'm happy
right.
for you.
We're half a game in front of you guys.
Great.
Yes, let's go.
If that's what you guys want to celebrate, God bless you. I'm too angry to give a rat's ass about what Giant fans are laughing at. All I care about is this is us. This is us. And this is the most pathetic state we have ever seen. And you could sit here and tell me about the coach or firing the coach. Look, I was against firing the head coach. Mm-hmm. Not because he was competent, but because I knew this wasn't going to work. Everybody knew this wasn't going to work except for the owner. But he got desperate, and he tried, anything. And here we are. We are stuck in an iceberg. Like, we're physically in the iceberg.
Frozen?
The boat hit the iceberg,
yeah.
And we haven't even escaped it. We're stuck in it, and it's everybody's fault.
Wow.
It's Aaron Rodgers' fault. It's this overrated, crappy defense's fault. It's Jeff Ulbrich's fault. It's Woody Johnson's fault. And I'll raise my hand, it's my fault. Because I was the dummy who bought season tickets, who thought, hey, this will be fun.
Yeah, this will be a good season to go watch.
My season
every
tickets are more worthless than Brooklyn Net tickets.
I'm a loser.
Who actually showed up and won their game yesterday. Yeah. Beyond pathetic, T.
It's football. It is hard to win in the NFL.
No, don't give me that.
The problem is that the Jets put themselves in a position to be mocked. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
You put yourself in a position to be mocked. Like 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, before last season, they put themselves in a position to be mocked. We're going to go get the greatest quarterback because we're a quarterback away. How many times have you heard me say this?
Yeah.
No team is anybody away. You're not a head coach away. You're not a place kicker away. You're not a quarterback away. You're not a running back away. Had to get that one in. You're not anything away from being a world champion. World champions happen because there's a culture, there is a belief system in each and every one of those guys, there is highly functioning planning, and most importantly, there's like this expectation of execution. That's ultimately what the Jets don't have. They don't execute well enough in when it matters most, because games come down to a series of plays or sometimes a play. Hell, look at the Commanders last night against the Bears.
Amazing.
The Bears are celebrating like, hey, you guys, this game's over, man. What's up, man? And he completes the Hail Mary. By the way, I think I figured out something with the Hail Mary.
What's that?
I'll get to it a little bit later. Oh. Something about the Hail Mary that Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders showed me how to do this. because there is a process to it. I'll get to it later. But anyway, my point is executing in moments is what matter. The Jets don't do that.
Never.
They don't.
Never.
I mean, when
that's
why,
Teak, I don't want to hear any Jet fans say, this play goes right, they win. The kicker shows up, they win.
You're supposed to make that play. And if you don't, you lose.
And you lose.
You win.
And that's what they've done every single week. Every single week, whether it was pre-firing Saleh or post-firing Saleh, they find a way to lose. But here's the thing that I really have a tough time wrapping my head around. If you want to tell me, see, Evan, I told you they wouldn't win, fine. There was always a really good chance the Jets were never going to win a championship, okay?
Right.
Here's the part I cannot wrap my head around. They're worse than they were last year. They're worse with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback than when they dealt with the worst quarterback play in the history of football.
Right. It's hard for me to like accept that that's the reason, because the reality is Aaron Rodgers is just a shell of who he used to be.
No question.
And again, this is not a knock. Aaron is still a really good quarterback, but he is not a great quarterback all the time. The pass he threw to Tyler Conklin, there's a couple of the ones he threw to Garrett Wilson. Those are elite passes. He used to do them 20 times a game. Now he gets it 4 or 5 times a game. Mm. And so he can't move. He can't extend plays. He's not doing the things that made Aaron Rodgers an MVP Aaron Rodgers. And so he's a static, good thrower of the ball, and it's all upper body. It's all upper body. When was the last time you seen him use his legs to throw a ball? A
couple of weeks ago. The last time it was against the Patriots.
Right.
It was
right.
A game at MetLife Stadium in which he felt like I don't want to say prime Aaron Rodgers, but he showed more signs of prime Aaron Rodgers.
He moved a lot. You're
he
right.
Did?
His hips were involved. Now it's just like it's all arm throws. And those things, I mean, it's hard to be accurate when you just throw with your arms. Go lock your bottom of your body in cement and try to throw accurate balls 40 yards downfield. It's not going to happen. And so he just doesn't have that extra oomph that he used to. And I think too much of the Jets' faith has been put in him being superstar Aaron Rodgers, and he's not superstar Aaron Rodgers.
He's not. And right now, the Jets have actually, they've done something that I thought was impossible. Like, as Jet fans deep in our soul, I know, Sean, you argue with cocky Jet fans. Hmm. What I've tried to tell you is most of us are broken.
No,
most
they're broken
of us
now.
Have been broken for a very long time. And deep down, like, you hear it from Joe even when he's excited. You hear it from me even when I'm excited. At the end of the day, we know bad stuff's going to happen. But what stuns me is how bad the stuff occurred so early in the season. It's October 28th. The Yankees are about to play Game 3 of the World Series, and the New York Jets are dead. The New York Jets are a dead body lying on the side of the road. And I like to say death of a season. That's a term I've coined over the last couple of years. Here's what the problem was yesterday afternoon to my fellow Jet fans. It wasn't just the death of a season. It's the death of a franchise. This franchise is dead. They have no future. They have no hope. And sometimes I always try to offer a solution. Like, okay, things suck.
Right.
Here's what you should do. I'm going to offer solutions all day today concerning the Yankees. Aaron Judge's slump, I promise. I am going to offer a solution. The Yankees, questions about their rotation moving forward, I will offer solutions. I have hit a point with this football team. I don't have a solution. They're a dead corpse. They're a dead franchise. I would tell you they need a savior. I don't know who that person is. Bill Belichick continues to look at the Jets' dead body on the side of the road and spit on them. That's what he does. He walks past them and he hocks a loogie all over the Jets. That's what he does. So it really feels, and I apologize for being emotional, but I was shaking when this game ended. I'm glad I went out and played baseball with my sons because I knew I needed to do something healthy to get away from that mess, that disgusting mess known as football and known as the New York Jets. And look, did I get sucked back in? Of course. Did I watch the end of the Commander Bear game? Of course I did. Did I watch Cowboys Niners? Yes. But for a good hour, I was so freaking disgusted. I was shaking. I needed to leave. They are a mess of a franchise that's ruining all of our love for football.
Yeah, they messed up your emotions badly.
And love of football. You know me. I've hated the Jets, and I've had fun. I laughed at it. You know what the Jets did to me yesterday?
What?
They made it not fun to make fun of the Jets anymore. For the first time in my Jet-hating life, I felt empathy.
You know why?
I felt sorry.
You know why?
It's not even fun to poke them anymore.
You know why? I'll tell you exactly why. We all have an enemy. We all have somebody we don't like, right? And you want them to get their comeuppance. Well, let's say that person's laying dead on the side of the road. Are you going to walk up to their dead body and laugh? If you did, you're psycho.
Right. No. Right.
That's the Jets right now. They are a dead body lying on the side of the road. So if you laugh at them, you're just a sick freak.
Yes. Right? No, you're right. And one more for the road. Joe Douglas, if you know it, all these problems are on your team and every little tangible thing's going to happen, how often do we say firing a general manager midseason right. doesn't mean anything? Why is Greg Zuerlein still allowed to kick football?
He needs to be sent away.
There are lots of kickers that are just waiting in the wings.
How?
Waiting for their chance.
How was he allowed to suit up yesterday?
Didn't they bring in a kicker?
Yeah.
Yeah, so have a competition every day, every week. That's what you should do.
All I know is there are many humans who walk the face of the earth that can kick a football. I need one of them to be on my roster outside of Greg Zuerlein. And he's not the only problem, but he's one of the problems. So, Jet fans, your chance to vent, your chance to try to figure out where we go in life. 888-808-1019. There's a lot of baseball to get to. We will get you set for Game 3 of the World Series, but not before looking back at what happened in Game 1, what happened in Game 2, and we answer the question, is Aaron Boone getting too much heat? Plus, Aaron Judge, do we have faith? There's a lot of baseball to get to, a lot of football to get to. We'll preview the Giants a little bit later on. The great Joe Beningo will join us at 4 o'clock. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. We are live from a beautiful-looking Yankee Stadium where the bunting is out, where batting practice will commence in just a few hours, where the field is looking gorgeous, and we are set for the first World Series game at Yankee Stadium in 15 years. We are broadcasting, and we want to thank, from the Spanish announce booth, I want to thank everybody a part of that broadcast for being kind enough to allow Evan and Tiki and Sean Marash to be in
let
here.
Let me do this one.
You got it.
Gracias.
Well, I could have done that.
You like that?
I mean, I could have done the gracias part.
Gracias.
Gracias, mi amigos. Thank you very much.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.